Reconnect and heal today. Welcome to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Love Never Dies Radio on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, which broadcasts in 136 countries, and Dr. Turndorf, Turn on the Love, syndicated on Binge Networks Television. So I have a question for you. Are your guts griping you? You know, you're like doubled over with diarrhea or constipation or gas or bloating. You know, have you actually been diagnosed with IBS, which is the abbreviation for irritable bowel syndrome? And have you been told you basically have to suck it up? Well, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to suck it up. Our guest today is Bella Lindemann. And after almost three decades of suffering with chronic constipation and given nothing more than the diagnosis of irritable bowel syndrome, Bella finally found her root cause, and it was more than one, in fact. And her mission now is to help others who have been given an IBS label to uncover and address their own root causes of the imbalances that underlie this very vexing condition. The symptoms experienced by someone given a label of IBS are very real, but providing a catch-all diagnosis that discourages sufferers from identifying and addressing the underlying root cause of their symptoms is an approach that is disempowering and well past, as Bella says, its use-by date. So Bella Lindemann, she's the founder of the Functional Gut Health Clinic and a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner who loves helping people heal their guts. And she specializes in chronic constipation, small intestine bacterial overgrowth, which is SIBO for short, gut infections, and other chronic digestive complaints. Bella started her clinic journey working in hospitals as an occupational therapist after completing a Bachelor of Science and a Master's in Occupational Therapy. And it wasn't until her own health crisis a decade ago that she completed further postgraduate studies in nutrition and established the Functional Gut Health Clinic. Bella and her team have since worked with over 500 clients online from all over the world to help them overcome their digestive issues. And, you know, Bella, I'm just so happy to have you on the show and to welcome you here. And I thought, how ironic, right, that my MacBook Pro pooped the bed. How fitting, right?
I love that reference. It's perfect. It was meant to be, unfortunately, for your computer.
Our show. So here I am reading your bio on my cell phone, and I've got my little iPad, so my eyeballs look like, you know, Tricky Dick, I'm looking off to the side.
But you're getting it done.
We're getting there done. You know, there's this is flowing. It's not constipation today. It's more diarrhea. So
yes.
Talk about what, would you like to speak more about your own experiences, or do you want to jump right into what IBS diagnosis means? Would you like to share your struggle? And how would you like to begin?
Yeah, I can start with my story if you like. I think just hearing how many people go through this and you know, the different ways that IBS can show up and impact people's lives can be helpful. So my IBS journey probably started from birth. I think I came out chronically constipated into this world. You know, and as a child eating foods that didn't agree with me, I was, you know, in and out of hospital for medical interventions, trying to get my bowels moving. My father, he would love me saying this, but my father has had a history of chronic constipation, so it was in the family. So it was always just put down to like a family history of IBS, and no one really did anything about it or thought much of it. And I ended up, you know, on the age of three, I was taking huge amounts of laxative, and that was my life.
Oh man,
my childhood.
That is just horrible. Which,
yeah, I think which, you know, as a 3 and 5 year old, I remember as a 5 year old having to take the medication and not wanting to take it at all because it was disgusting. Banana flavor. Why would you make a children's medication extra sweet banana flavor?
It's enough to make you puke.
Yeah, puke probably. Yeah, and I think it was, yeah, it was just always that thing that I had that was a part of me. And, you know, people talk about you as a kid and the fact that you've got this going on in your life and you just really own it. It's like, oh, that's me. That's what I have. And you don't think that it's a fixable thing. It's just you. And so I sort of grew up with that mentality. And, you know, over the years, I got progressively worse to the point where we have a product in Australia called Movicol. which is a polyethylglycine-based laxative. And I was taking, you know, 8 to 10 sachets of this a day for years and years and years, and at university. And if I missed a dose, I wouldn't go for a week. And that was just completely normal. And it sort of, it wasn't actually the constipation that tipped me over the point of needing to do something about my health, because that was me. I owned that. Like, that was just who I was. It was the fact that I started getting all these other health issues. I started getting anxious. I started getting lots of other infections, like urinary tract infections. I started getting lots of bouts of food poisoning every time I would travel with family and friends. So the constipation.
But your whole microbiome was so out of whack that you didn't have the protective immune, you know, because we know 90% of our immune system is formed in the bowel through the microbiome. Gut. So you didn't have that protection.
Had none of it. Yeah. Multiple bouts of antibiotics. I think I was, you know, on a dose of antibiotics every couple of months.
But whatever you did have was stripped out of you with the broad spectrum. You were just gone. You were
wiped out.
Yeah. Wiped out, bombed out, Biafra bowel.
Sterile. Yeah. Pretty much a sterile environment in there, which is not what you need. You need trillions of microbes to have a healthy, happy, abundant, diverse microbiome.
Exactly. You know, the reason I asked you on the show is because I was doing a lot of research on this topic and you popped up, and then I started reading your blogs, and I said, this is really the only woman who really understands the complexity of this topic. And, you know, I get it, but I don't find most MDs get it, nutritionists. So I was really impressed with you and your broad understanding. So do you want to talk about, do you want to continue with your journey of how you went from being in the poop to not pooping to solving it? Would you like to continue that part of the story?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think I sort of hit crisis point. We went to Africa and it was a dodgy prawn. I think you call them shrimp. At a dodgy prawn at a 5-star hotel. And that was the beginning of the end. That was the final bout of food poisoning that completely wiped me out. And, you know, initially as a person who gets chronically constipated, you get a bit of diarrhea and it's pretty fun stuff. Like, you just love it because you feel like for once in your life, you're empty, you're not as toxic, you can think clearly. But then on like day 3 or day 4, you're like, okay, I've had enough of this. It's time for this to be over. So Africa was sort of the beginning of the end. I came back to Australia. I was a mess. My skin was a mess. My hair was falling out. I was really, really underweight. Couldn't, you know, eat anything without getting bloating, gas, belching. Couldn't go to the toilet unless I took a ton of medications. And I'd seen many, many, many medical practitioners for support. I had done all of the conventional testing. And guess what? There was nothing wrong with me. So how about I take, you know, this lovely medication that's going to help with my mood, because clearly it's all in your head.
Oh, so now they're going to give you antidepressants. Right. So, because they don't know that 90% of your neurotransmitters, your mood hormones are made too. So just give you some more stuff to throw you in an imbalance that's even worse.
Exactly. So I think, you know, as someone, like everybody who goes through a health crisis, you feel disgusting and you just don't know what to do. And you start researching. You get on Google at 3 a.m. because you're awake and you're worried, and you start doing the Google trawl. And I just felt like no one could help me and I just needed to solve my own problems. And that's where it all began. I found a nutritionist in the UK after all of this research that I'd done, who had listed a condition called SIBO that you mentioned, small intestine bacterial overgrowth. And that's where I began. Not that I only had SIBO, but that was the gateway into the functional health space and understanding root cause for, you know, root causes for why we have these imbalances within the body. And the fact that majority of stuff comes back to the gut, and that's where we generally need to focus and begin if we want to start healing a lot of these, you know, obviously GI stuff, but also all the secondary conditions, the anxiety, the recurrent infections, all of these other things.
The skin stuff that you mentioned.
Exactly.
And hormones. Your hormones, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Right. Because therefore 90% of your hormones are formed there. That's why they said death begins in the colon.
Yes.
Was it the Hippocrates who said that?
I think so.
Yeah.
I should know.
That wasn't a hypocritical statement. That was true, right?
Not at all.
That is very, very true. So now we're going to get more into SIBO. Because it's such a pervasive problem deeper in the show. Mm. But I know you would like to talk about why there's no cure for IBS.
Yeah. I think also just understanding what IBS is as a label as well, because I think we get this label and, you know, sometimes it can be relieving because at least there's something to explain what's going on in the body. But, you know, IBS as a label is just so broad and non-specific. It was created for research purposes. It wasn't created as a clinical diagnosis. So, you know, all they wanted to know was, did you have, you know, part of the Rome 4 criteria for describing IBS was, did you have recurrent abdominal pain? And did you have changes in bowel motions, you know, changes in frequency and form, you know, were you constipated or did you have diarrhea, basically? And then once you hit those criteria, all of a sudden, tick, you get the label of IBS. But
it's such a catch-all, right? It's
exactly like right.
Spectrum, and then you're stuck with it and treating the symptom, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's why 10% of the population get this label, because it's so broad, we can all fit under that category, because unfortunately there's a ton of us who have these symptoms.
You know, now, it's getting worse. I know you know this because of the glyphosate, because there's a lot of research, right, that the glyphosate residues that are even making their way into organic food are tearing up the architecture, you know, of the bowel and causing leaky gut and intestinal permeability. So this is an epidemic now.
It is. And that is a whole topic that we could talk about for hours. It's huge. It's huge. Right. I mean, I feel it's worse in the US than what it is in Australia, but it is a problem here as well.
It absolutely is. Our food is the worst, much worse than Europe and in the countries where they've outlawed glyphosate. But there are, and you know, of course, then we got the GMO thrown in there, and then the grains, which tear the guts up some more. So, and then the antibiotics that are making their way into the dairy and the beef.
Exactly, the water supply.
It's a real problem. So you've kind of talked about what the problem is with an IBS diagnosis, that it disempowers you. And by the way, more women than men have IBS, right?
Yeah.
So, exactly. And then it's been so common to say, well, you're just nervous, you're hysterical, you're neurotic. Women have been dumped, you know, that hill of beans forever, right?
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
And then they're telling you it's in your mind when you know you're unwell. And that makes you even more upset emotionally.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just this really vicious cycle. And I think, you know, the gut mind connection. I have, we within our clinic, we refer out to people who do gut focused psychotherapy to help our clients, because, you know, the mind is such a powerful tool, but it can also be a powerful tool that can unfortunately work against you a little bit once you start getting thrown with labels and diagnoses and things like that. So I guess, you know, I like to explain it to clients, like in the past, stress was, you know, thought to be the root cause of IBS. You know, everyone's getting told it's all in your head and there's so much stigma around the diagnosis, but actually, you know, stress has been shown to contribute to and to impact the severity of symptoms. And it's something that we like to support our clients with these interventions. So, you know, the gut hypnotherapy stuff, the gut focused psychotherapy, the reason for that, or the reason why we refer on for support for that, is because the cognitive mind controls the nervous system. Okay. It activates the central nervous system when we're stressed, and it starts sending signals, you know, to tell the gut to either work or not to work. Because if we're in a state of stress and we're needing to fight, flight, or freeze, the gut's not important. Digestion isn't important. It's completely downregulated. And this is normal functioning of the body. This is not your body doing a bad thing. It's your body doing exactly what it needs to do. So it's about, you know, don't get cranky at your body, but how can we help support our body when we start getting into these states of fight, flight, or freeze, so that we can calm, relax, be at one and at peace with what's going on, and give our body the space to do what it needs to do. Because when we can do that, then we can start relaxing and the gut can have the space to work again and we can repair and heal. So it's such incredible.
When you're in the peaceful state, the parasympathetic mode, your body can rest and digest, right?
Exactly.
It needs to be in parasympathetic, P for peace, sympathetic, S for stress, right?
Yes.
So, you know, I have never talked on air at all about my struggle. And, you know, because I wrote you a letter, because I'm like the poster child for these difficulties, because I was born 3 months early, you know, I weighed only 2 pounds. So, and then lived on antibiotics for the first 10 years of my life. So, and then I was in a train crash, And so I've discovered also, apart from everything else, the vagus nerve. And I think you speak about the vagus nerve and vagal tone, right?
Yes.
Because people don't think about that and how the vagus nerve is necessary, you know, for proper motility. But I'm getting ahead of myself because that neck thing is a big thing, that nerve. Yeah. I know you know all about this, all about it. That's why you're so effective in helping your patients, because you're working from all angles. So speaking of the top root causes of IBS, you know, I mean, I just threw in the vagus nerve, but would you like to talk about the root causes that you've...
So there's probably five of the most, there's tons, but the five most common root causes for IBS that we see. Okay, so this is, you've gone to your doctor, they've done the medical testing, they've ruled out you don't have any sort of colon cancers, we know there's no structural issues, and we know that there's no ulcerative colitis or Crohn's, none of that, all right? They're all screened out, so people get that done before they come to our clinic.
No inflammatory bowel.
Exactly.
No inflammatory bowel syndrome. This is just irritable. Right.
This is irritable, not inflamed, irritable. So within irritable bowel syndrome, once all that scary stuff's been ruled out, we are having things on lab testing that we're finding is the first thing that we usually find, or the most common thing, is gut infections. You would be surprised how many of our clients have parasites, opportunistic bacteria like Salmonella, E. coli, so fungal overgrowth, so Candida, Rhodotoila, Dutrichium species, viral load. Sometimes, you know, we don't always go into it, but mold and mycotoxins and things like that could be contributing to symptoms as well. So infection load is probably the most common thing that we see. That's number one. Number two is small intestine bacterial overgrowth. So that infection load can be throughout the whole GI tract. So H. pylori can be in your stomach. Sometimes you can have some bacteria in your mouth and in your esophagus that can cause issues as well. Then we have the small intestine, then we have the large intestine. So just a bit of an anatomy touch up. So in the large intestine, that's where all of those parasites, bacteria, yeast, viruses, mold, like a lot of them will be in the large intestine, but they'll also work systemically throughout the whole body. But number two thing, coming back to number two, is within the small intestine only. So the small intestine environment can get this bacterial overgrowth, okay, SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth. It can either be an overgrowth of bacteria that produce a ton of hydrogen gas. It can be methanogens that produce a ton of methane gas.
Or those are make you not poop.
Exactly, they're the constipation ones. But actually, I've seen tons of clients with hydrogen dominant SIBO who don't poop either. So it is a myth that hydrogen-dominant SIBO just causes diarrhea. It can actually cause diarrhea, constipation, or neither. I've seen lots of clients with neither.
Or maybe that GERD diagnosis, you know, reflux, esophageal, and people think, oh, it's unrelated, but it's related because of all the pressure in the bowel. Right, that the toilet backs up and now you've got reflux.
Yeah, that lower esophageal sphincter gets impacted and all of a sudden, instead of gases going out, they go up.
Like a fart going backwards and your lower sphincter says, open up this window, get some
So there's like three. There's like either the you know, the gas that comes out the top, the gas that goes out the bottom, or the gas that just gets trapped and you get bigger and bigger. And that's that one's personally most uncomfortable.
Well, you look clothing, 6 months tension. In it and you can't wear your clothing. Yeah.
I got asked on a train. Oh, no, we were on a holiday and we were in Spain and I was on a train and a little old 90, she must have been well over 90 year old lady. This is when I was deep in the depths of SIBO and didn't know what was going on. Offered me a seat because she thought I was pregnant.
Oh,
I had that much floating.
You can laugh about it now. Amen.
I was mortified. I went bright red. I was so embarrassed.
I bet. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so, that's okay. It's in the past.
So we've kind of like, we've touched on the SIBO, the methane or the hydrogen dominant, right?
There's also a third type, hydrogen sulfide SIBO, which is produced by a specific type of bacteria.
Now, okay, this is getting like a little, I mean, I hope that I'm not getting too deep here.
No, this is
some
good.
Of the reason, you know, because I like to dig deep. So I've seen some research that some think that the SIBO may not necessarily be an overgrowth, but it could just be a dysbiosis, right? Where like the word for it, I was going to say a brain fart, and I guess this is the topic.
This is the show for it.
With all my tech problems, I'm having brain farts too now. So the archaea bacteria, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think about that? That sometimes it's an imbalance, a dysbiosis, as opposed to an actual infection? What do you think?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth, right now, like if we get into the nitty-gritties of it, like that's not the right term for everything that we're currently putting under there. The small intestine bacterial overgrowth is really just the hydrogen producing bacteria and probably the whole hydrogen sulfide producing bacteria as well, like Desulfa vibrio. These are not bad strains of bacteria. They're just strains that shouldn't be in an abundance in the small intestine. They should be down in the colon, but for somehow they're getting up into the small intestine and they're causing all of this gas production in that environment. And that's what gives people symptoms. And that's what's causing the problem.
Because the bugs that don't belong there made their way there. So now you talk about ileocecal valve dysfunction, yeah, like the valve that's supposed to keep the crap in the lower intestine, as you say, goes back up into the small intestine because there's a dysfunction in the valve, right?
Yep, exactly.
And and also, look, I'm the poster child for this, slow motility.
Yeah.
Right? So if you have slow motility, right, and then the stuff is hanging around, then it prevents the valves from opening and doing, you know, moving things along. Well, now we're also, I'm getting ahead of myself because now we're talking about hydrochloric acid as well, you know, because you need enough of that. So I've got diarrhea now. I've gone too far ahead.
Verbal diarrhea. No, you're totally right. So basically, you know, for SIBO, there are so many root causes for SIBO. SIBO itself is not a root cause. There's tons of root causes for it. And they're all the things that you have to address to successfully get rid of SIBO. Otherwise, it will just keep coming back. The bacteria, the archaea will just keep coming back. So you have to check stomach acid levels. Make sure you've got enough stomach acid to support, you know, breakdown of proteins and fats and killing off the bacteria that comes in with the food that we eat, number one. Number two, within the small intestine environment, we've got to clear out that bacterial overgrowth so that environment, the gut lining, the microvilli, aren't covered in these bacteria and all of their waste products, that they can actually absorb all the nutrients from the food that goes into the system, that you can have good production of your enzymes that come from that brush border. They also come from the pancreas, but we'll just talk about the brush border here. And then, you know, you, like you said, if there's I'll go back to one more. If you've got adhesions from surgeries and you don't have any motility in your small intestine because you've had a cesarean or you've had some sort of laparoscopic abdominal surgery, or maybe you even had an injury, you're in a car accident and you had a massive assault to your abdominal region, there could be changes in the intestines, and the skin can have adhesion scar tissue that's built up that stops the cleansing wave like motion through the small intestine, the migrating motor complex, from cleaning out food and waste and bacteria, and we get a buildup. And then, like you said, the
buildup. We have to take a break. We're talking about surgery. We're going to just take a brief cut and we'll be right back.
Hi, it's Dr. J.B. Turndorf here. Are you feeling stressed, tense, jumpy, jittery, anxious, or having panic attacks or angry outbursts or disturbed sleep? Are you worried that you or someone you love is going to get sick or even die? Are you depressed and feeling hopeless, like the world is coming to an end? Or are you suffering aches and pains or stiff muscles, low energy, or falling into self-damaging or addictive behaviors like binging on junk food, the internet, or TV, or abusing drugs or alcohol, or not eating right, or exercising, feeling like, what's the point? If you said yes to any of my questions, you are likely suffering what I call the global PTSD pandemic stress syndrome triggered by the coronavirus pandemic. Don't despair. My energetic system upgrade is your rescue remedy for the panic epidemic that is plaguing our world. The energetic system upgrade has already helped some of today's top leaders. Now you can experience your own energetic system upgrade healing transformation. To find out more and to schedule your session, visit drjamieturndorf.com/energetic system upgrade. That's Dr. Jamie Turndorf, TURNDORF.com/energetic system upgrade.
Love Never Dies is now on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every Wednesday and Thursday at 1 p.m. and 1 a.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, also known as Dr. Love, is the number one international best-selling author of Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased. If you're grieving the loss of a loved one, tune in and find out how to reconnect and heal any unfinished business using Dr. Turndorf's groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique. Visit AskDrLove.com to find out more.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
You're listening to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you yearn to get along better with your life partner or spouse, friends, family members, and even coworkers, Dr. Turndorf's book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, Dr. Love's 10 Simple Steps to Cooling Conflict and Rekindling Your Relationship, shows you how to turn conflict into connection for a lifetime of lasting love. Find out more about Kiss Your Fights Goodbye at AskDrLove.com. This is Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. This show is for you, the listener. Once again, here's Dr. Turndorf.
Welcome back to Love Never Dies Radio on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. And Dr. Turndorf, Turn on the Love on Binge Networks Television. I'm talking with the brilliant Bella Lindemann about the IBS diagnosis. And right before we cut for the break, we're talking about surgery cuts can cause damage, and that can affect the motor functions of the food. So they hang around, they putrefy, bacteria grows. And back to you, Bob.
No worries. So we were talking about the migrating motor complex. And then the next thing we were going to talk about was the ileocecal valve. So right back to what you mentioned at the start, that's the valve at the end of the small intestine that opens and closes and allows food and waste to go from the small intestine down into the large intestine. But if there is problems with the opening and closing of that valve, sometimes we can get backflow of bacteria, especially if we're constipated, it's easier to happen. And even archaea, these methanogens from the large intestine back up into the small where they shouldn't be. And that in itself can be a reason why we get a bacterial or archaea overgrowth in the small intestine.
Now, let's talk about how we heal these things. Because, you know, you might have immune problems, skin problems, hormone problems, mood problems, which basically everyone has. And you have to look to the colon. So how do you go about, let's start with the hierarchy of how do you find the multiple root causes? How do you do that? You don't do it with a crystal ball, you know? So what kind of testing do you use?
So I'll come back because I only got through two of the five root causes, and then I'll explain that we do each of those. Segwayed. It's fine. It was that verbal diarrhea, but it was all good. I loved it.
So chronic infection right now.
So we had the gut infections, and then we had SIBO, but the other most common root causes of IBS that we see are dysbiosis, so not enough good bacteria or not enough variety of good gut bacteria in the colon. And then we also have a thing called leaky gut or intestinal hyperpermeability and food sensitivities that develop because we have that intestinal hyperpermeability.
So all the stuff is most back in. And the bugs themselves chew up the lining. And so, okay, so now this is another thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I did an 11-day water fast. I'm a queen of fasting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's recommended. It's that you can kill the bugs, bacteria, fungus, parasites. But what I found when I did it is that they went into hibernation. Mm-hmm. And then I became like you. I stripped away all the good guys, right? And now you're left with the bad guys, you know, the bullies in the playground with no guards to keep them in check. And then these bugs can chew up the mucin lining of your bowel, right? And make you even more inflamed and cause more leaky gut and intestinal permeability. Mm-hmm. So I bet you're not a big fan of water fasting.
It's not an intervention that I use with my clients, no.
Right? And, you know, this is something that the there's a big clinic in Europe, the Buchinger Clinic. Oh, they swear it fixes diabetes and all these overgrowths. And I mean, I'm like the queen of trying everything, right?
Yeah.
But that's a problem because then when you're left with the bugs running unchecked, now you're almost with a microbiome of a baby or somebody who's taken broad spectrum antibiotics. Mm-hmm. And now you've got to put the good guys back, right?
Yes.
Because the dysbiosis, you were saying, is not enough of the good, healthy, you know, diverse exactly. strain of bacteria. But the trick is, how do you put those good guys back when they feed the bugs, you know, right?
Yes.
They say, don't use probiotics because it will inflame your condition. So
That is a really good question. And this is where bioindividuality comes into it, because actually for some people, probiotics are really helpful. Prebiotics are super, super helpful. For some people, it's a nightmare. It inflames their whole system and makes them feel worse. So there is, you know, probably about 50 different inputs that you need to look at to work out for this individual client, like, can they use these interventions or not? And sometimes it comes down to trial and error, because you're never going to have enough information about the gut environment and that someone's health overall to know until you just give it a try.
So basically, you've identified the root causes.
Yep.
Now you dive deep into how we're going to heal it.
Exactly. Right? And we have a process.
So
everybody has a process.
I know you like to dive into the diet, the lifestyle, and the natural supplementation, but obviously it's different for SIBO or parasites or fungal overgrowth or dysbiosis. So you want to talk more about this?
Yeah. So basically, once we get our, you know, we test for our five most common root causes, but we don't only use lab testing. I think people see lab testing as the be all and end all. You can't use it on its own. You have to couple it with someone's, you know, symptoms and health history and all of that kind of stuff. Because I might get a client who has really classic H. pylori symptoms, for example. They've got all of the upper GI reflux, belching, headaches, migraines, they're constipated, they get pain at T6, T7, like repetitively, you know, all of this really classic H. pylori stuff, and it doesn't show up in labs because the H. pylori didn't come out in that single stool sample that we got. Because you can't, you know, if we could do a stool sample every day for 14 days, we might have a really good idea what's going on in the gut, but we get a 1-day stool sample. So it's a great screener and we get what we get, and it is a brilliant starting point. But if someone comes to me with classic symptoms of something that I know about, then I'm going to offer them that intervention, because it's very likely that that's where we need to begin. So the lab testing that we use, we usually use good quality functional stool testing. So I like the PCR DNA technology. It's sort of the best stuff that we've got going on at the moment. And I like to start with looking at the bad bugs. I want to know what's the bad stuff that's in there so that I can try and get rid of that first. So I'm looking for, in clients with symptoms, H. pylori. I'm looking for parasites. I'm looking for viral load. I'm looking for bad bacteria. Then I'm looking for that small intestine bacterial overgrowth. That's the second thing that I want to know about. So I would do a SIBO breath test. I like to use
the lactulose breath test.
That's the one. I like to use lactulose. You can also use glucose, but I prefer the lactulose. I like to use, there's a company in the US called TrioSmart, and they test for hydrogen, methane, and hydrogen sulfide now. So it's one of the first companies in the world that's testing for hydrogen sulfide, which is awesome. And then after that, once we address those two things, I'll start looking, because I assume if you've got infection load and you've got SIBO, you've also got a dysbiosis. I don't need to do lab testing for that. I know that you've got it. I know that if you have infection load and SIBO, you have a leaky gut, you have increased intestinal permeability. And I know that because of that increased intestinal permeability, you've very likely got food sensitivities. So I don't necessarily test for those three things straight away. Yeah. I will do testing for that later on if we're still struggling with those things and we can't figure out what's going on for that particular client. But just to help with not over testing and, you know, just trying to, because I think this is an expensive process sometimes. So I start with the most relevant lab testing. Start with the top of our hierarchy, which is the infection load and SIBO. We work on that. Once we get that stuff under control, then we move on to fixing or working on improving the dysbiosis. So improving abundance and diversity. At that point, I might get a microbiome stool test. So looking at the good gut bacteria in your microbiome and looking at how much abundance and diversity, short-chain fatty acid levels, because we know short-chain fatty acids, which are produced by these beneficial gut bacteria, if there's certain SCFAs like butyrate, if butyrate isn't high enough, clients will have problems with constipation. They'll have low energy. They'll have, you know, stool form changes, and they'll probably be constipated or have diarrhea, that kind of thing. So that's dysbiosis. Then after that, we'll start working on the gut lining, rehealing and sealing the gut lining if we haven't done it throughout the whole journey already. And then once we find that we're starting to heal and seal the gut lining, that's when we're looking to clients to say, okay, how are your symptoms? Because I'm hoping that you're almost through everything that we started working on, because we've pretty much done the journey now. We've healed the gut lining. Food sensitivity should be going. Symptoms should be almost non-existent at this point.
That sounds wonderful. Now, yeah. So, you know, the traditional Western way is they use antibiotics, and the botanical treatments are perhaps more effective than the antibiotics. I mean, I've looked at all the research and I, you know, I've looked at how they use rifaximin for both methane and hydrogen dominant bugs. And then I saw a very interesting research recently in which they use 1,200 milligrams of rifaximin per day plus hydrolyzed guar gum.
Yes.
And they had a much, you know, much better result. Now, for somebody like me, who obviously has a irritation in the whole lining, I can't tolerate the botanicals, the things that we use to kill the bugs naturally, whether it's neem or oregano, I can't do it.
Yeah.
So does that happen often for you, that you'll have patients who are so inflamed that they cannot tolerate your remedies?
Yeah. So, and this is the client group that we're constantly looking for new tools to support them with. This is a tricky client group. It's you know, it just means that their system is at a point where it's not as robust as everyone else's, and they can't tolerate the tools that we would generally use. So we usually start these clients with just gut lining repair and healing, nutrients to nourish the gut lining. We experiment with, you know, do they tolerate liver support, lymph support? Can we help them with detox? Can we help them with getting motility back, just to try and clear out the toxicity and things that are happening within their body? We might look to heavy metals testing to see what are, you know, any heavy metals. We might also look to what is their, you know, calcium, sodium, magnesium, potassium levels within their body, just their basic micronutrients. Do they have a good balance and ratio of their basic?
Right. I'm glad you mentioned the magnesium, you know, because I've become
Sandy.
Right. Very very in, you know, I don't sell it. I'm not a distributor. Yeah. But I have begun to recommend it for my patients because the number one deficiency, you know, magnesium deficiency is directly linked to irritable bowel syndrome and inflammatory bowel syndrome.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you don't have enough magnesium, your motility isn't right, you know, you're constipated or you have inflammation. So the electromagnesium I always recommend to my patients. And the problem, of course, you're low on magnesium, but if you try to take it orally, you're going to get diarrhea most likely when you take the magnesium at a medicinal dose. So that's why putting it on the skin is great. You know, you just bypass your gut. So you also
the ratios.
Talk about, ahead. The ratio, you mean mineral balancing?
Yeah, the mineral balancing in the body is so important, making sure you've got good, strong levels of sodium, potassium, magnesium, and, you know, all the other, you know, making sure you're getting, doing your best to get it from your diet, supplementing where you need to, you know, getting basic things like sun exposure can help with nutrient mineral balance in the body.
We are so it is insane, Bella.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, well, we have to mention sun here, and you said it. That is awesome, right? That, I mean, you have to have the sun.
You do.
Without the sunscreen. And so, okay, if you don't want to get it on the more delicate skin on the face, you can cover the face, but get it on your arm for what,
arms an hour legs. A day? Depending what country in the world that you're in, if you're in Australia, you're in a bit of trouble if you get an hour of sun exposure a day. But yes, you're doing the best, especially I think in the Northern Hemisphere in winter. It's hard to get decent sun exposure. I wouldn't know because I don't live in the Northern Hemisphere and we don't have cold winters. But, you know, in Australia, it's a lot easier to get sun exposure. It's just always there. But, yeah, I think in certain parts of the world, you really have to focus on getting good, decent sun exposure. Otherwise, it, you know, huge impacts on mood, huge impacts on the microbiome, huge impacts on your immune function, which we know, you know,
You are so knowledgeable on all these topics. Let's take a break. We'll be back in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
it's Dr. JV Turndorf here. Are you feeling stressed, tense, jumpy, jittery, anxious, or having panic attacks or angry outbursts or disturbed sleep? Are you worried that you or someone you love is going to get sick or even die? Are you depressed and feeling hopeless like the world is coming to an end? Or are you suffering aches and pains or stiff muscles, low energy, or falling into self-damaging or addictive behaviors like binging on junk food, the internet, or TV, or abusing drugs or alcohol, or not eating right, or exercising, feeling like, what's the point? If you said yes to any of my questions, you are likely suffering what I call the global PTSD pandemic stress syndrome triggered by the coronavirus pandemic. Don't despair. My energetic system upgrade is your rescue remedy for the panic epidemic that is plaguing our world. The energetic system upgrade has already helped some of today's top leaders. Now you can experience your own energetic system upgrade healing transformation. To find out more and to schedule your session, visit drjamieturndorf.com/energetic system upgrade. That's Dr. Jamie Turndorf, turndorf.com/energetic system upgrade.
Love Never Dies is now on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every Wednesday and Thursday at 1 p.m. and 1 a.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, also known as Dr. Love, is the number one international best-selling author of Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased. If you're grieving the loss of a loved one, tune in and find out how to reconnect and heal any unfinished business using Dr. Turndorf's groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique. Visit AskDrLove.com to find out more.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
You're listening to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you can't stop crying over the bodily loss of a loved one, Dr. Turndorf's number one international bestseller, Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased, will show you how to toss out the tissues and transform your grief into joy using her groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique that enables you to reconnect and even heal unfinished business with those in spirit without the assistance of a medium, channeler, or psychic. Sign up for Dr. Love's free newsletter at AskDrLove.com and receive an exciting gift, a free excerpt of Love Never Dies. And now, back to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf.
Welcome back to Love Never Dies Radio on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. And Dr. Turndorf, turn on the love on Binge Networks Television. I'm talking with, I can't stop saying, the brilliant Bella Lindemann, because she really walks the walk. She has done her research. She knows this topic of SIBO, dysbiosis, leaky gut, and food sensitivities like no one I've ever spoken with. So now, exercise. We got to talk for a moment about exercise, because we're talking about how to improve irritable bowel syndrome. Now, what we didn't talk about was, and this I think would probably take up the rest of the show, and this is so important, diet.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, huge. Really huge important piece of the puzzle. And I think this is the thing, like, there are so many different ways to do it. I think every time you see a different practitioner, they're going to recommend something different because there's no one way to do this. It's all about bioindividuality and experimentation with the diet, because you start off with a foundation diet that, you know, might be something templated like the SIBO biphasic diet, or maybe you're trying paleo autoimmune protocol diet, or maybe you're on something like a ketogenic diet or carnivore, whatever you're on. You might start somewhere there, but then you need to personalize. None of those diet templates are going to be perfect for you.
I'm reading now about oats, and they are an exception, okay, and they're so great, and they're mucin forming. What do you think about oats before we go on to dairy, cow dairy?
Look, I think if the right person, oats, gluten-free, certified gluten-free oats, may be a really good fuel source. And I think there are also other foods that you're going to get the same nutrients that you are going to get out of oats as well. So if you can't eat the oats, there'll be something else out there.
Right. So back to the dairy now. So we're talking about cow dairy being so inflammatory.
Yep. So gluten, conventional dairy, sugar in all of its artificial processed form. I mean, processed foods in general, they're not real food. The body doesn't recognize it as food. You put it into the system, it's going to cause inflammation. The digestive system isn't going to be able to break it down properly. You know, it's just so inflammatory.
All right. So if you've got overgrowth, be it bacterial, fungal, or parasitic, the paleo diet allows maple syrup and honey, but these things are not good. They feed those bugs, the bacteria, and the fungal.
Exactly. Infection. And that's where you have to personalize. So our clients get templates of diet recommendations that we want them to experiment with. And one of the key recommendations is paleo style diet, but we also want you to go a little bit lower carbohydrate in the terms of we're excluding the sugars.
Okay? Including the fruits, right?
Not all fruits, though. Some fruits. Yep, low sugar fruits, berries, kiwi, lemon, lime, rhubarbs, olives, because they have a ton of micronutrients in them that are supportive.
Yes, also, well, I just read last week, rhubarb helps produce Akkermansia muciniphilia.
But I don't think that's a reason not to eat rhubarb. Like, I think this is the thing, is that, having good, strong levels of
grow it. The rhubarb helps grow that particular guy. So it's like, stock up on it because it grows the good guy, the probiotic that helps you reverse weight problems and diabetes. Anyway.
And so that's what we do with our clients. We start off with a templated paleo style diet and we look at their microbiome and we go, okay, you've got these bad bugs. You don't have enough Akkermansia. You don't have enough Acali bacterium. You don't have enough, Bacteroidetes phyla, family of good gut bugs. You don't have enough Lactobacilli family of good gut bugs. So we also need to add these foods in to feed up these families of good gut bugs. So that's it's a blend of a paleo style diet plus all of this good food, specific foods that are going to feed up these good guys. And with anything, when you are starting new foods, you can't chuck everything into your diet because you will get bloating, gas, diarrhea, constipation, brain symptoms.
Exactly. Like, Previlli, I'm sure you've heard of it, which is like this alternative. It's not prebiotic. Well, it's not probiotic. It's more like a prebiotic where they're putting in this whole range of fruits and vegetables. But the problem is, even one capsule for someone with these problems, it's like a bomb. Yeah.
It's too strong. You have to start off super slow. It's like lifting weights. You don't go into the gym and bench press 100 kilos. You go in and you start with your teeny tiny muscles and your teeny tiny weights. Your microbiome is the same. You're diversifying slowly, so you start with, on our foods list. If we want clients to start working on, fructo-oligosaccharides, for example, you don't go straight to the artichokes because they're hardcore. You go straight to things like leek and you start with a small amount of leek and you slowly build up based on the quantity of FOS per food.
So you're talking about hardcore. Are we talking about high FODMAP? Because we haven't brought that into the conversation at all.
So just then I was, but there are other foods that aren't high FODMAP that we would, if you had SIBO, we're not going to start you on a high FODMAP foods list because we know that's going to just blow you up. You're going to get bloating.
You've got to go low FODMAP temporarily. Not because the foods necessarily feed the bacteria, but they just make your symptoms worse.
Yeah, they ferment. And so you would get worse symptoms. So I think this is the thing is that, a food that is bad for you or causes symptoms this week, after we do a certain amount of gut healing, you should be able to start tolerating those foods again. They're not off the table forever, especially, when we're the ultimate goal is to get good plant diversity, to be able to eat these foods and tolerate them and feel good because there is a specific strain of bacteria in your gut that only feeds off, three foods. And if you don't eat any of those three foods, and then it's going to die off. And you actually needed that bacteria because its role within the body is to, support your weight, to support your mood, to help with absorption of vitamins and minerals, for example. So if you don't eat the three specific foods that buck eats, for example, then you're not going to have, good support of those functions within the body. Like that's how much, nuanced it can be.
And I was just thinking now, we're talking about getting all these good healthy bacteria into us, which people sometimes receive through probiotics. But the lactose strain probiotics can be really problematic with SIBO. So a lot of people use spore form, the dirt base. So I know you know all about this. I'm just bringing this up. So do you prefer getting your probiotics not from supplements, but from the food?
Yeah, I very rarely give my clients probiotic supplements unless it's for something very specific. So I'll give an example. Methane dominant SIBO, or this intestinal methanogen overgrowth, there is a strain of L. reuteri, Lactobacillus reuteri, DSM-913 or whatever the hell it is. And that specific strain of probiotic has been shown to reduce methane levels in the gut. So I would give my clients that product in very low doses, titrating it slowly.
One strain.
Just that one specific strain for that specific instance. So Bifidobacterium lactis HNO19 strain can help with clients who have constipation. So if you have constipation, I might give you that specific strain. That's how I use probiotics. I don't use broad spectrum based products. I prefer to use at the right time, diet diversity, building up diversity within the diet. And I might use some prebiotic fibers like that partially hydrolyzed gar gum that you mentioned in very, very tiny amounts, building up very, very slowly at the right time in that client's journey.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, and you will recommend low FODMAP for somebody who's very symptomatic with SIBO. Right.
Yeah, just while we're addressing the SIBO to help, because it's a symptom control tool. So I'll use a low FODMAP diet for symptom control. It's not a long-term diet, because if you stay on that diet for too long, then you're going to wipe out all your beneficial gut, not all of it, but a lot of your beneficial gut bacteria in the colon where we need diversity. So it's a good short-term intervention tool to help someone who's addressing a specific infection load at a specific point in time.
So I've been organic for 40 years. You know, that's the brilliant. No grain, the no sugar, the whole bit. And I know that for a lot of people, just quit taking the diet and cleaning it up is enough to eliminate the bad bugs. And, but sometimes it's not enough, right? Because just because you're not feeding them with these bad foods, that isn't necessarily enough to, you know, the theory is you can bring in the good foods and the diversity and it will choke out the infections, you know, that like be the good bullies and choke out, but that doesn't always work, right?
Yeah. So for some people, addressing the terrain, so improving the terrain. So it's kind of like your gut is like a rainforest. And if you send in enough of the good, you know, natural native plants, they'll crowd out all the weeds. But sometimes the weeds overrun and it doesn't matter how beautiful and diverse the fertilizer is that you're putting on the soil. It's not going to be enough to grow back those native species. And that's when we can start looking to, you know, do microbiome testing and trying to use the natural supplementation in the form of antimicrobials and things like that with clients who tolerate them to help with addressing these sorts of imbalances.
It's, you know, it's so interesting how connected you and I are. Because you used a metaphor that my unconscious had. You know, I had a dream that my garden was full of beautiful, diverse plants.
So
you used that example, right? So, and that is such a perfect metaphor. And you tuned in, I think, to the imagery that was in my unconscious. And, you know, there's also something about you that is very caring. And, you know, when I read a research, it was very fascinating. I'm always researching. That's why I'm cross-eyed. Did you notice that? This research was...
I didn't notice.
No, I'm just looking off at the cell phone.
Let me mention it.
The camera is on my iPad. But I read this research that there was a great correlation between abuse in childhood and digestive problems.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Trauma, history of trauma. Right. And that's not all. Sometimes it's not even always huge amounts of trauma. Sometimes it's just, you know, being ignored as a child.
Yes.
You know, children should be seen and not heard. These sorts of things that can be enough.
Or just the way that a parent doesn't listen to your feelings.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, because no matter how good a parent you are, you step on the kid's toes. The kid has to be able to say, "I'm hurt. I'm angry. I'm sad. I'm scared." And if there's no freedom to say it, you swallow it, and it's like eating your guts up. You know.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
exactly. Yeah, trauma history is something that we screen for on our intake forms. And, you know, I don't think there's many clients who come to our clinic that don't have something in their history that's contributed.
Well, I'm glad you're mentioning this because you know, when I have a guest on, I tend to not talk anything about my work or anything, but I'm launching a book called If You Think You Don't Have PTSD, Think Again. That's the title.
I like it. Yeah, okay.
Is the first drug-free, the first research-backed drug-free remedy for the global PTSD pandemic stress syndrome. I want, in the last 3 minutes, for you to make sure everyone knows how to find you, right? Leave with a parting a parting message. And I really want everybody who's struggling to reach out to your clinic because you really, really have it figured out. So take it away.
Thank you. Yeah, I think having been through the IBS journey, I get it. And I say to, you know, everyone I meet, IBS is a BS diagnosis. It's not a real thing. If you have the symptoms, do something about it. Don't settle. Fix it because you have so much capacity to feel better and live a better life. And great. I'm so grateful that I did because I wouldn't have a husband. I wouldn't have a child. I wouldn't have this beautiful life that I have if I didn't do the work that I did. And I'm so grateful that I did. And I just want everyone to have that opportunity as well. So that was sort of why I set up the clinic.
You truly care. You care. People feel you care. It's obvious you care. Your heart comes through everything you're doing. So
thank you. I hope so because I think that's I'm not a very good business person, but I think I can convey the need to people to help themselves. I created a clinic called the Functional Gut Health Clinic. We are online clinic only, which is working right now in times of COVID. So the reason why we're online is that Michaela, Anita, and I are based out in Australia. Mark is in the US, and as you know, there are not a ton of people in Australia, and we have such a good healthcare system that the general healthcare system there captures a lot of people and can support a lot of people. So we sort of take the overflow at our clinic, and people who are looking to do more of a natural holistic approach, it's a bit more personalized and maybe that the healthcare system in Australia can't personalize enough for. So we work with people who have IBS online. We do consultations online. We support them with organizing lab testing and doing personalized protocols to help them overcome the root causes for their symptoms. If you're interested in what we do, we have a really good blog. Our blog is amazing. I love our blog. I put everything into that blog. It's my pride and joy. So if you want to know about how we do anything, you can go to the website www.bellalindeman.com and go to our blog and just start there and just read everything. And I promise it will be helpful.
So and it's BellaLindeman.com.
Yeah.
.com.
Double N, like the German spelling for Lindemann.
Exactly. Bella, I hope that you feel welcome to come back anytime. Oh, you have pleasure. Anything you want to share, I'd love to have you.
Oh, thank you. That was an amazing conversation. You're so knowledgeable and it's so beautiful speaking with someone who can have that really detailed conversation. So thank you for bringing all of your knowledge. That was great.
Wonderful. Wonderful talking with you. And I loved hearing how much you know and how much you're on top of everything. We got to the bottom of this issue. No pun intended, right? All right. I will see you next time. And I'll see you soon, Bella. You take care.
Bye-bye.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.